Uncluttered and Unfiltered is brought to you in part by Carex. For older adults, aging in place is a key part of the American dream. And yet only 10% of us have homes that are aging ready. And we admit to not even knowing where to begin when it comes to making our own homes or our mom's homes safe and comfortable. Carex.com is more than just the place to go for affordable, easy to install, and often fold away equipment. It's also a resource. They deeply care about supporting caregivers. Well, we've teamed with Carex to offer you a 20% discount on Carex.com. We've got a link in our show notes, or when you're checking out, use the code UNCLUTTERED20. That's Carex.com, UNCLUTTERED20. Don't wait for a medical emergency or life-changing event to visit Carex.com.
Welcome to Uncluttered and Unfiltered, the podcast urging you to let it go and don't look back. With nationally acclaimed professional organizer Christine Stone and self-proclaimed hot damn mess radio and TV personality Eden Kendall.
Welcome everybody to Uncluttered and Unfiltered, the podcast for women over 50. We like to say if you are a woman over 50, you found your people. And we are excited today because we're going to talk about the thing that bonded us originally to each other. You know, if you are new to our podcast, my name is Eden Kendall, and I am a broadcaster of many years. Christine Stone is a professional organizer, and we first met on a TV show.
Yes.
And we had a great chemistry. We sometimes even dressed alike by accident.
I remember that.
We really enjoyed each other's company, but it wasn't until one day she was doing a segment on memorabilia and brought in an album that she still had to this day, and it was Donny Osmond.
Yes.
And I said, no kidding. I had this same album. I loved Donny Osmond, still do. I couldn't believe the stories. And you've heard them, you guys. You've heard them. If you've started with us from the beginning or gone back and listened to past episodes, you know this woman, it was Gaga over Donny Osmond.
And that's how our friendship became serious when I found out I had a fellow Donny Osmond fan.
But it didn't stop at Donny Osmond. There were many teen idols, many Tiger Beat studs that we both enjoyed. And so today's episode focuses on some of those names for a few reasons. One is, and Christine has said this over and over again, when it comes to memories and memorabilia, music, and not all of these guys we're going to talk about are based on music. Some of them are just actors, although oftentimes, actors who were not musicians were made to record albums.
Oh, yeah, you'll see.
But we find that music is what really triggers the memory process for both of us, and we think probably for you, too. So we're going to talk about that. Another thing we want to tell you about is we have become total fangirls of a podcast that is also for Gen X, if you will, or boomers, if you will. And we want to share that podcast with you and let you know that these ladies have agreed to come on our podcast in just a couple of weeks. It's called the Pop Culture Preservation Society.
Obsessed.
We're obsessed with it.
I have listened to almost every episode they have ever made, and I can't say enough. It really brings you back in time in such an amazing way. So I'm really excited to talk to them in an upcoming episode.
There are three of them, and the premise of their podcast is that these memories, if somebody doesn't talk it through and put it into a recorded episode, that we could lose these memories forever.
I know.
And we just can't let that happen.
No.
So if you want to study up before we have a chance to talk to these three lovely ladies, it's called, once again, Pop Culture Preservation Society, available wherever you get your podcasts. So today's episode is actually inspired by the way they do things.
Yes.
And
it got our brains rolling.
It really did. So this is not a copycat episode. It's an homage.
Yes.
We are paying tribute to them and how they have inspired us to go down memory lane and feel all the feels. And what I love about what they do is they dive a little deeper than you would if you were just sitting around talking about all of these different names and memories. But before we do that, in an upcoming episode, you promise that you will talk about ways to preserve this memorabilia.
Yes.
So that it doesn't become just more clutter in your home.
Yes. And talking about our own memorabilia, not your kids.
Yeah.
Everybody has their own memorabilia that they have a very hard time parting with. So we'll be talking more in a future episode about your own memorabilia?
There are some things that I wish I still had. For example, I would have loved to have been able to produce that same Donny Osmond album, but I know that it's likely gone forever somewhere in an attic or was in a box that was given away. I never took it with me when I left for college, never came back to collect it when I got married, none of those things. But the thing that I most wish I still had was the local radio station in Miami, Florida, produced these little pamphlets every single week called Y100 Lyrics of the Week. And they would fold them up, trifold them, and put them at a jeans store at the Dadeland Mall. And every week I would beg my mom or any family member that was maybe going by the mall to stop into the pants, the jeans store, and pick up this pamphlet. And
was it the Just Pants store?
It was Just Pants.
Oh. In case you all don't know, I also grew up in Miami, so we have that in common as well.
Yeah, Just Pants.
That was the name of the store, Just Pants.
I almost said it, and then I thought, nobody will know.
Oh, I know.
So Just Pants had the lyrics of the week, and they would, on the front of it, whatever the number one song of the week was, they would type out the lyrics. And then inside, they had some other things, maybe a commercial for somebody, and they would maybe do a spotlight on one of their DJs. I saved those in a box and do not have them anymore. And I wish I did, because when they stopped producing them, I had maybe 50 different. So for about a year, I was able to collect these. I don't know if they stopped making them.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
I'm very sad, but I remember having the lyrics for Tonight's the Night by Rod Stewart, which was very
sassy at the time. Yeah.
Things like that. All right. So we're going to go down a list of these celebrity crushes we had when we were younger. And we are reliving the giddy feeling. Now, we're not necessarily going in chronological order.
No, we're not.
I did try to get them oldest to youngest, but they're not 100%.
Before we begin, I had a conversation with you and I said, this is what's been freaking me out over research for my podcast. I can remember exactly where I was hearing most of these songs or seeing most of these people. But if you asked me what I did last week, I could not tell you for the life of me. I really couldn't. And so it really shows you how certain things are really just embedded in your brain that you just can't stop remembering.
I can see the lyric of the week for Devil Woman by Cliff Richards, but I can't tell you what I had for dinner last night.
Yes. It's so bizarre, really. I don't know, but I'll be sitting in the car and hear a song and go, and like my brain just goes back to sitting on that street with a girlfriend talking, saying, oh my God, I love this song, or listen to the lyrics. Remember when you were young, you go, listen to the lyrics. Yeah. This is the best part.
So, and you can remember it. You can remember the part of the title of a song that was in parentheses.
Right.
December 1963, Oh What a Night.
Oh, yeah.
And then ask me what I had for lunch
yesterday. If it wasn't for having it be a holiday, I would have never remembered what I ate yesterday. Yeah. So it's been an experience, let's say that, going down memory lane. And I have loved every minute of it.
So we had a good time. We Friday had a call that was over an hour long. And we went down this list. Most of the names on the list we had were identical. Not all of them.
But most of them were identical.
The first one on this list, what I love about it was we were both, even though we're a few years apart, we both agreed that the only way you would know this name.
Yes.
And again, we know we have ladies of all ages. You might be in your early to mid 60s. You might be newly 50. And if you're newly 50, apologies, because some of these names you're not going to
know. Right. You're not.
But Bobby Sherman was a name that I only knew because my older sister liked him.
And all my friends' sisters loved him. And you'd go over to their house and they'd have Bobby Sherman on the wall. And he was on Tiger Beat, which is the pop idol magazine everybody used to have. And so that's how I remember Bobby Sherman and his song. I mean,
Julie, do you love me? And he was on a TV show, but I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it either. It was before my time.
And now he's like a paramedic.
He is.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Just stopped singing and Saves lives.
You know who else is in that? And I forgot to put him on the list, but Eric Estrada. He got his, he's some sort of deputized.
Yeah.
I don't think he practices it, but he was a police officer somewhere for a minute. For real. All right. The next one is all you.
Jack Wild from HR Puffin Stuff. Now, I'm sorry. Every girl back then thought he was so adorable, so cute. He was also in a lot of teen magazines. And every Saturday, you'd watch HR Puffin Stuff, and there he was. Now, the rest were all fake animals. So he stood out as a human. Yeah, he did stand out. But every girl thought he was so cute.
He was also the artful dodger in the movie Oliver Twist.
Yes.
In Oliver. Yeah. Jack Wild. That's a really good one.
Yes.
That is a great one. This next one was not on my radar, but the minute you said I can even remember an episode where he played tennis with Farrah Fawcett.
Oh,
and that
my
is
God. Vince Van Patten.
Apple's Way.
And he was on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills because his wife was one of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Are you kidding me?
No. So she wasn't on this past season. But anyway, so I got to see him, and I have to say he has aged very well, but every woman in the world, girl, was hopelessly in love with Vince Van Patten from Apple's Way. Loved him.
That's great. This next one, I was happy to spring on you, but at the minute I said it, you were all in. Randolph Mantooth.
From Emergency.
Emergency. Now, that was a show that was on every day when I would get home from school.
I watched it all the time.
And I would get whatever disease they talked about, I was certain I had. Because I had that hypochondriac kind of mentality back then. So unfortunately, there were episodes on there that stayed with me. There was one episode of Emergency where the girl's in the hospital and they can't figure out what's wrong with her. It's a little girl. And then they go to, I guess she had her suitcase packed. I don't know if she knew that she was going. And she had made these little baskets out of peach pits. And it turned out she was sucking the middle of the peach pit out, which is evidently toxic. So that stayed with me for a while. I was terrified to eat a peach. And then there was another guy that choked on a pop top from a can, and Randolph Mantooth and his partner had to go save him.
I was always afraid
to drink canned cola.
Didn't you always envision, God, what if I fall down, Randolph Mantooth is going to come out of that emergency vehicle. And then you're like, it's a TV show.
With the less cute partner.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
All right. The next one was you.
Willie Ames and Grant Goody from 8 is Enough. I was obsessed with that show. Obsessed.
I loved that show.
It was such a great show. And Betty Buckley, I went to TCU. She was a TCU alumni and in my sorority. So I really loved that show when she took over for Diana Hyland, who died. And so I love that show. You could tell I was all in, knew everything about it.
Me, everything you know about Diana Hyland.
Well, that was John Travolta's love while he was filming Saturday Night Fever.
Yes. Well, he was also, it was because she played his mother in Boy in the Plastic Bubble.
I know.
Bubble.
She was older.
She was older and she sadly passed away, and they did bring in Betty Buckley on that one. Willie Ames also from Charles in Charge. That's a whole other.
I watched Charles in Charge. Did. Yes. Mm-hmm. I loved him. Yeah.
He was cute. I liked him. He was more my speed than Grant Goodeve. Grant Goodeve had that tall, dark, and handsome kind of look about him. I liked that curly-haired, moppy-haired Willie Ames type.
I liked Grant Goodeve, but I said, you know, he's just a little too old for me.
I think he was a little
Even though, really?
Yeah.
It's so funny. You're like, he's too old for me. He doesn't know you exist.
Yeah, and I love the qualifications you put on it.
Right.
Like, but if you weren't too old for me, then we could...
Right, we'll talk about
it. We could have a fantasy about him then.
Right.
Scott Baio. Now, Scott Baio, I think, did we first see him in Happy Days? Was that where we first met him as Chachi?
Chachi. Yes.
And then there was Joni Loves Chachi.
Yeah. I wasn't a big Scott Baio fan back then, and I'm not really one now. So
I liked him a lot.
I don't know. Everyone else was in love with him. Everybody. I just was never a big...
He had a cousin that they tried to bring into the whole Tiger Beat lifestyle, and that was Jimmy Baio.
Never heard of him.
And he was on Happy Days 2 and Ralph Macchio. They brought in him as one of the Fonzarelli kids. And there were all these cousins. And
Yeah.
Brothers and nephews and whatnot, which brings us to Ralph Macchio.
Now, Ralph Macchio, I loved. He was in The Karate Kid as well, but he just has such a great disposition to him, I think. I really, really, I even like him now. I just see him in random things. I'm like, oh, it's Ralph Macchio.
And he's in Cobra Kai, which is, of course, the spinoff of Karate Kid.
And he was in The Outsiders.
Which we're coming back to. We're going to circle back to because they were all in that.
All of them.
All the pop culture guys. All right. So here's the next one. Leif Garrett.
I was not a fan, but you were. Boy, and I get it.
So that radio station I talked about, Y100 in South Florida, had an event and it was a walkathon. They were the radio sponsor for the walkathon. And they said, Leif Garrett's going to be there. He's going to be there. I said, Mom, we have to go to the walkathon. So we went to the walkathon. And I remember at the end of the walkathon, they had parked the van and here comes Leif Garrett. They bring him out on top of the van, or maybe it was a stage in my memory.
Right.
It was on top of something.
Right.
And I had my camera and I'm taking pictures. I get my pictures back. He's a dot. There's no chance I'm convincing anybody at school that this is really Leif Garrett. He's tiny, tiny, tiny little dot. But he was the guy that you knew somebody was not a fan if they pronounced it Leif Garrett.
And I did pronounce it Leif Garrett.
Yeah, it was. That was one of those.
He was Mr. Pop Idol, though. He was on every magazine. I think because of my age, being 61, he wasn't. He was kind of after for me. Like I was already older, so I didn't really. He wasn't of my era.
I have a good little fun fact about him. He was, when he was in high school, they let his girlfriend move in. The mom let the girlfriend move into the house to live with him at the age of like 16.
Oh my gosh.
It was Nicolette Sheridan. Do you remember her from Desperate Housewives?
I love her. I really liked her.
Yeah.
A lot.
That's from her past. The other thing about him was he is another one of these artists that they said, you've got to record an album. We've got to strike while the iron is hot. So he did Surf in USA and Run Around Sue.
He
was made for dancing.
Yeah, I did like that song. Mm-hmm. I did. That was a good one.
Hi, it's Eden. Christine and I absolutely love bringing you Uncluttered and Unfiltered, the podcast for women over 50. For the first time, we're asking you for your help. A one-time or monthly donation from you will help us with production costs and help us grow this awesome community. Find a link to make a donation in our most recent show notes, in our Uncluttered and Unfiltered Ladies Only Facebook group pinned to the top, or on our Uncluttered and Unfiltered Facebook page. And in advance, thank you.
So now we're in your story land.
Well, Peter and Greg Brady. And the reason why I mentioned both of them, because when the Brady Bunch first started, Peter was too young. And Greg was always the older, more hand. But then as it went on, then Peter got older and then my crush kind of shifted. So when I was working at a local community place around Jacksonville, they said, we need some extras to sit in the gym. And I said, for what? And they said, Barry Williams is coming to shoot like a Lifetime movie. It was something like really ridiculous. And I said, Barry Williams from the Brady Bunch? And they said, yeah. And I said, oh my God, I want to go. Let me sit in the front. Like I was so excited. And they were all looking at me like, okay. Cause you have to remember at this time, he was really a nobody again. I mean, he had had those dried out years. And so anyway, he wasn't as popular right then. But he took a picture with me and I still have it. And he was so, so nice. I can't tell you how nice he was to everybody. And, you know, this was in a big gym where people could just come up to him and he would talk to everybody. He is such a really nice guy. So whenever you meet the people you've always fantasized about, when they're really, really nice, it's like icing on the cake.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. I really am. I'm really happy about that. I was not a Greg Brady or even a Peter Brady fan. And I think the reason is I was watching all of these shows in syndication when they were on, and I was so team Partridge Family that the Bradys, I just thought they were the nerds, and that Keith Partridge just was the cool guy. And I was like, Keith Partridge would never hang out with Greg Brady. And that just was an attitude I had. So it was David Cassidy for me.
Okay.
And I loved him. But he also was more my older sister's speed. It's just that I thought based on cuteness and the fact that he was in a band, and I just really loved him.
I loved the Partridge Family more than anything. My brother loved David Cassidy. So I would hear all the David Cassidy, but like I said before, I thought he was a little too old for me. Mm-hmm. And Danny Bonaducci, no.
No.
So, but I did have a kind of a girl crush on Lori.
I think we all did.
Susan Day, because everyone else had like blonde hair and she was the first brunette. Yeah. And I just thought she was so pretty and her long brown hair. So I think she was like my first girl crush that I thought, oh my gosh, Lori Partridge, she can sing. She's pretty.
Do you remember when she was getting a radio station in on her braces?
Yes.
That Lori Partridge was like, you wanted to be her. You wanted to be best friends with her.
Yep.
The guys loved her.
Yep.
The thing about the Partridge Family that I remember too was my sister and I had instruments that my dad made for us. They were fake instruments. Eventually we got older and we got real instruments, but she had
the tambourine.
Mine was a tambourine, but it was made out of like a cookie tin can that he put some beans in so I could shake it. And then my sister's was a guitar that was made from just, I don't know, cardboard or whatever. And we would play the record and put on the shows.
We all put on the shows.
But I was Tracy. I was Tracy. And that nobody was really Lori or Mrs. Partridge. My sister was Keith. She was David Cassidy. She wanted to be the main singer. All right, here comes another music memory for us.
Oh my gosh, Davy Jones.
From the Monkees.
And I have to say, I did watch the Monkees, did you?
Yes, but only, they didn't show it in South Florida, to my recollection ever. I only could see it when I was visiting my grandmother in New York.
Oh, really?
At 4:30 every day.
Yep. Oh, I remember watching it all the time because my older brother also liked the Monkees. So it would give you something in common with your older siblings. And I thought, oh my God, Davy Jones was so cute.
British accent.
And he just was so cute. Everything
and little
about him.
And sweet. And
yeah.
Yes.
And sassy. So did you ever see when they did the traveling Brady Bunch episodes? They're spoofs. They aren't the real people. So they had this in 1989.
So this
something
is like a
like
live
this.
Touring show?
A live touring show. And they go from place to place. And they came here. And I made my husband go. That poor man has gone to every nerdy event known to mankind. Mr. Rock and Roll is with Miss Nerd. Anyway, so we go to see the Brady Bunch show, and they don't tell you, this was the best part of it. They never tell you what episode they're going to remake until you get there. So we had no idea until we got there that it was the Davy Jones episode. So, okay, I'm excited anyway, just to have somebody sing, girl, look what you've done to me, girl. Remember I used to say girl? Anyway, and then the real Davy Jones comes out to sing the song. And I mean, literally, my husband's like, calm down over there. I was so excited.
That place must have erupted.
Oh, it erupted. Everybody was so excited. And then afterwards, we waited because they said he was going to sign autographs. But he must have gone out of a side door because there were so many people waiting to get this man's autograph in 1989 that I never got his autograph or a picture, but God, I'll never forget that night. It was so weird that the entire episode was done. And then there was Davy Jones. And by the way, that was my favorite episode when I was a kid. So I think that's why I got so excited.
Oh my gosh. And do you remember that you didn't know what episode was coming on and you just, for the syndicated shows,
yeah,
you didn't know. I mean, TV Guide would have the description of shows when there were new episodes, right. But when it was syndication, you didn't know. So if you were watching and that episode came on, you couldn't believe your luck.
I
can't believe you were able to catch him live. That's incredible. Oh my God,
it was so exciting.
So we are skipping around. Part of the reason we're skipping around chronologically is because, as I mentioned, some of these shows were more of a syndicated thing. So we may have started to crush on them later than when they were really the hugest. Like, for example, I don't know about you, but for me, Davy Jones was not the Tiger Beat guy because
he was the Tiger Beat guy. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm 61 and everybody, you laugh, but 2 years,
it makes a huge difference
because, you know, anyone that's 58, 55, you were either in middle school.
Right.
I was in high school when some of these, like the next one, Andy Gibb, I was in high school.
Right.
And although I had to secretly hide that I was madly in love with Andy Gibb, because when you're in high school, everyone's into rock and roll and it's the 80s. And I just loved Andy Gibb. I loved every song he sang. And I was so happy there was another Gibb brother. Like they were hiding him. And then all of a sudden, another Gibb brother appeared.
Uncluttered and Unfiltered is brought to you in part by Hearts for Minds. April is National Stress Awareness Month. Managing stress is important in maintaining a healthy lifestyle, both in body and mind. Hearts for Minds strives to alter how we look at mental health and break the stigma of mental illness. With 1 in 4 adults and 1 in 3 children in the United States having a mental health disorder, Hearts for Minds advocates for healthy lives by promoting mental health education, facilitating early identification, and connecting people to treatment. Go to heartsforminds.org to learn how you can help today.
You're right. And then you had watched that Bee Gees documentary that I also just watched recently, which is incredibly sad.
Oh, my God.
And they talk about Andy Gibb, and they had just made him the 4th Bee Gee officially when he passed. It was so sad.
Yeah, I'm going to give a warning. If you watch that, bring a box of Kleenex if you were a Bee Gee fan, because it's probably one of the best documentaries I've ever watched. It just was done to perfection. And I can't say enough wonderful things.
I think what was so moving about that documentary is it wasn't all flattering, and yet it was put together by Barry Gibb. So it's not, it wasn't the untold story trying to scandalize them. It was him really saying, this is what it was. If I could have everyone
back again, that's what got me when he said that at the very end. If I could go back, I would give up all the fame just to have all my brothers still here. So
sigh.
Okay.
Rex Smith.
Oh my God. You take my breath away.
That's another example of somebody who just got you, like reached through the radio, grabbed you by the collar and yanked you in so hard that you were face to face with your speaker. You couldn't stand how much you loved him.
No, you loved that song. You were like, you want someone to say, you take my breath away. That's the most romantic thing a person could ever be told. Like when I look at you, you take my breath away.
I remember when the movie Sooner or Later was on.
Gosh.
It was a TV movie. And it was the girl that was on the TV show called Fish, Denise. Gosh, why didn't I look up her last name? Denise Richards, Denise Fisher, Denise. I don't know. She was on there. She was young and lied about her age. They fall in love. And then, of course, it can't be.
No,
because she's too young. I mean, sooner or later it can be, but not right then. So it was a problematic movie if you were to do it today.
Yes.
But he's so stinking cute, and he had that hair that was totally blown dry.
Yeah, the best hair.
Great hair, very good looking.
And we found out he lived here in
Jacksonville,
in where we're from. So we were so excited to hear that. And you really, when you do the deep dive, you find out things about celebrities that you never knew. And even if you follow him on Instagram, he looks great. He's doing well, which is always a plus when you have like these idols in your brain.
I reached out to him on Instagram. I wanted him to join us and get ready. Are you ready for a big surprise?
No. He said no.
He did say no. Surprise. I thought for a minute he would at least reach back. Sometimes they'll get back to you and say, please contact so-and-so, my manager. Evidently he's busy. So he is not, it's not meant to be. All right, here we go. This is probably one of the bigger ones for me.
For you. Yeah. Which shows the age thing because I was already.
Okay. Yeah. Sean Cassidy.
Yep.
And Sean Cassidy, the half brother of David Cassidy.
Yes.
Adorable, hearty boys. They had to make sure that they could give him a chance to sing on the show and have a recording deal, which he did. Huge album.
Oh, huge.
Do Run Run. Yeah. Still Rock and Roll to Me. Hey, Deanie.
He's, yeah.
And Parker Stevenson was on that show as well. And he was for the older girls.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I think so too. Really, everyone was in love with Sean Cassidy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The long hair. He's so cute. So the next one up, we met him on the Osmond show with the Osmond brothers, introduced us first to Tony DeFranco and the DeFranco family. And I had this album.
Oh, I loved. Well, first of all, he looked like Donny Osmond.
He had that Donny Osmond look.
He had that look. I loved him, but I loved that song. Heartbeat,
it's a love beat. And when love meet, it's a good. Well, we're going with different verses, but yes. And it had that whole, you could hear the beat in the
heartbeat.
Do, 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 right. Do, do, do.
And yes. It was a true one hit wonder.
It really was. Although, because I had the album, I do know some of the other songs they sang.
Yeah.
However, and I at one time could have told you every brother and sister's name. There was a Marissa.
Oh, really?
There were all these different family members. Now, I do follow him on Facebook. Evidently, he is a realtor in California.
Oh, really?
And occasionally they get together and do shows.
Oh, wow.
And
how did he look? I always want to see.
Just like what you think he would look.
Oh, really?
Like. He kind of had a Davy Jones look.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know how when Davy Jones was older, we got to see him a bunch?
Yeah.
He had that look going for him. Still very handsome.
Yeah.
Still very handsome, I think. Robbie Benson.
Well, I can't think of him without thinking of Ice Castles. And then when I think of Ice Castles, I think of the theme song by Melissa Manchester. Then I cry. So, I mean, he was always in a movie that you said he's one of the nicest guys ever.
You could tell that he just had to be nice.
He was so nice when she was blind and she fell on the ice and he went over there.
He said, we forgot about the flowers.
Oh my God. It was.
That movie was amazing. I think I went and saw that in the movie theater 3 or 4 times.
I've seen that movie. Even now, if it's on with commercials and everything, you always watch it and you get to that part and you're like.
When she puts her skates on and she goes down to the ice skating and everyone's at the party and you're like, don't do it this time.
Right.
Don't do it.
Or when she takes the fall and they always had dramatic music back then, like really dramatic. And you saw it was happening and.
Like it's coming. Be careful. Right.
Oh my God.
No.
But he was great. Robbie Benson. I just always thought not only was he cute, but he seemed like such a nice guy.
Yeah. And that I actually had an autographed picture of Robbie Benson.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did, because my father had met somebody who worked on the movie One-on-One.
Oh my God. Another great movie.
And somehow got my sister and I each an autographed picture. So I'm assuming it was authentic. I don't know. It's, again, one of those things I wish I still had. I do not. Rick Springfield, Dr. Noah Drake.
Yes, see, I knew him. And that's how I originally knew him from. I was too old. I was more into the General Hospital part of him. But then it was the 80s. Yep. And you had to love his music, too.
His music. He was a legit rock star.
He was. He was great.
Unlike some of the Tiger Beat kind of, let's make sure you record a song so we can capitalize on it. His music was legitimately good music.
Jesse's Girl. Like your 80s anthem.
Yeah.
You know, early 80s.
Album that I had. That was good.
But Noah Drake was.
Yeah, Dr. Noah
Drake. That's when they kind of tried to get him as the teen idol in that lab coat.
Yeah.
You know, he was so handsome.
He was so handsome. And then everybody on that show at that time was after the one virgin nurse.
Right. Oh my gosh.
All right. this brings us to something that we have actually discussed here before, at least on our social media, and that is the late, great David Soul.
Oh, I know. He just died, too.
He just passed away. Yeah. Did you guys cover him in your Christmas Dead karaoke that you do every year? I shouldn't say that insensitively.
Don't say that. It's actually very fun. It's a tribute.
They do a tribute to all the people that pass away in the course of a year on Christmas at your house.
That are musicians.
And you do karaoke. Yeah. You probably forgot to do Don't Give Up On Us this year.
I'm trying to think.
You had a lot there. Tina Turner.
Yeah, there were a lot. Jimmy Buffett. But it's a tribute to all the greats that have gone. And everybody loves it because it's memories.
So, yeah. So David Soul, we lost.
Don't Give Up On Us, Baby.
You should never give up on us. Starsky and Hutch, of course. And we talked about this before, too, that Tiger Beat magazine used to try to pit you against. You had to pick. Were you Starsky or were you Hutch? And it was kind of going in favor of one until the other came out with that song. And then it was all over.
Another one-hit wonder.
Can we put this next guy last?
Yes.
Thank you. We're going to pass over him and talk about the movie Little Darlings and Matt Dillon. By the way, those ladies that we love from the Pop Culture Preservation Society have a whole episode on the movie Little Darlings.
Oh my gosh. I haven't got to that one yet, but I only have a few more to listen to.
Matt Dillon. Very cute.
Very cute.
Bad boy.
He was the bad boy. He was the one everyone really liked when you were a little older because you wanted the bad boy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was so handsome. Oh my God, was he good looking.
So cute. So cute.
Which brings us to
Rob Lowe, who I still love madly.
I still love him madly too. Oh my gosh. I was living in Chicago when Rob Lowe and the Brat Pack were in their height. So I'm going to bring up About Last Night, which I've seen probably, I would say 50 times. Mm-hmm. And every time I saw that movie, I was like, oh my God. I mean, that and St. Elmo's Fire. Rob Lowe, I just can't, I don't care what he did in his bleep of some little mishap
so long ago
and he's in everything now. He seems adorable. To really rally and come back in a huge way.
He was fantastic in Parks and Rec, and now he's in a firefighter show, but he's just great. I loved him
in every Brat Pack thing there was. I loved him in.
We both loved Michael Jackson.
I love the Jackson 5. I loved Michael Jackson.
I have those albums too.
I know it's controversial now, but one thing, and I think I talked about this before, is after that one documentary came out, I felt like I was not supposed to like him. So I didn't listen to any Michael Jackson. If it came on, I would turn it. And then one day, you know how you just need an old school song that makes you happy? Mm-hmm. And one day, I think it was Billie Jean or Thriller or something came on. And I said, I need this today. I need this song today. And I didn't turn it. And then I realized what someone had once told me, you can like the music and not like the person. It's okay. And they're right, because now I can listen to ABC. You know what I mean?
For me, the song that really gets my blood going, and I love all of the old Jackson 5, but this was when he started his solo career. Whenever I hear the beginning chords of Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, it makes me want to jump up and roller skate.
Oh.
It makes me want to get to the floor. This is the one we all have to skate to.
And they always have that pause at the beginning when they go, you know, listen, you can like the music without liking the person. That's one thing I've learned in my older age. His music is timeless. It is original.
And quite frankly, he's on the other side now. It is really for God to sort out.
Right.
So we're over here and appreciating the fact that there were some amazing memories.
What about the Motown special? I could tell you where I was sitting.
Oh, yeah, with Billie Jean?
When he did the moonwalk?
That was where we first got to see it.
That is a memory that's just embedded in your brain.
I remember watching it live when it happened.
Right, and you were in shock. You're like, how does he walk like that? The glove. And I just think that you can't erase memories.
I loved him. Yeah. I was in love with him.
I loved him too.
And the Bay City Rollers as a whole crew, they were Tiger Beat material as well. S-A-T-U-R.
Yeah.
D-A-Y.
I wasn't really big into them, but I did like some of their songs. But they were popular later on, definitely.
All right. Let's go back to the one we passed over. And that is, this is so funny because for my radio show, I just interviewed him a week ago without knowing this story, unfortunately, because don't you believe I would have brought it up somehow? I don't know if it would have been appropriate.
No.
But we talked to him for 20 minutes. C. Thomas Howell,
who I was madly in love with. The Outsiders was the first thing. And I just thought he was so cute. And I was a flight attendant, which I talk about a lot on this show. And I was working first class because someone called in sick. And when you're really new and junior, at least at the time when I talk about this, I always say at the time, because things are so different now, you didn't get to work first class. That was when you had seniority. And I got to work first class. And I can't remember if I was coming back from LA or Vegas. I just can't remember. But I was going back to Chicago where I lived. And he was in first class on the flight. And I mean to tell you, I didn't even know if I could really talk much. And at the end of the flight,
yes, we're familiar with your silence when you meet a celebrity.
Yeah. When I meet a celebrity, sometimes that I can't talk, but he was very nice and I was very professional. But at the end he said, "Hey, I have a group of people getting together. You know, if you'd like to join us, I could take your number and we could get together." And I'm like, "Thank you so much. But unfortunately I have plans," because even back then, everybody, before true crime, I'm like, who are his friends? You know, am I going to lose an organ, get an arm cut off? Am I going to be dead in a ditch somewhere? So I politely declined. Anyway, it turns out then, I would say 6 months later, Secret Admirer came out and I was sitting with a bunch of girlfriends watching. They're like, "Oh, look." And I go, "Oh my God, that's C. Thomas Howell. He was on my flight." And she's like, "No way. Did you?" I go, "He asked me to go with them and I turned him down." She's like, "Are you crazy?" So that's my C. Thomas Howell story. He was so, so nice. Although in Criminal Minds, he was a psycho killer, just so you know.
He had a name.
God.
The Reaper.
Yeah.
He
was so scary. And see, when I see the Criminal Minds, I'm like, maybe I did the right thing. I don't know.
I love that. Well, we have gone a little longer than we usually do because we were so excited about this topic. And we haven't even really gotten to the ones you guys shared with us a long time ago on our Ladies Only Facebook group, which I'm about to tell you how to join. But some of you guys said Sean Cassidy, David Cassidy, Patrick Swayze.
Ooh, love
we never
Patrick
got
Swayze.
To. Let's see. Willie Ames was on that list. Donny Osmond, of course, Andy Gibb, Rick Springfield, Leif Garrett. So we know that we're in your wheelhouse,
yes.
You guys. That Ladies Only Facebook page is very accessible to you, but you have to join. It's a private group where we can kind of let ourselves just be ourselves. And it's Uncluttered and Unfiltered Ladies Only. So find that on Facebook. Just go into your search bar, Ladies Uncluttered Unfiltered Ladies Only. Ask to join. We'll let you in. You can post memes. You can post questions if you want to find other women who have started a family later in life, or maybe other women who are
in menopause
or letting their hair grow silver. Whatever it is, this is your forum. And as always, we're going to ask you to do some of the things we always ask you to do, which is leaving us a review with as many stars as possible. What that does is helps others find us. There's a whole algorithm thing, but mostly we want you to tell one friend.
Just one.
Just one. So whether it's that album that you're going to not let go of physically, but maybe the shame about hanging on to it, you're going to let go of, you can let it go.
And don't look back.